do something, you can count heads
and put it down on the paper.
Okay.
Steve. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, that's pretty good. And I tell you, it's really nice. We're evenly balanced, so the church isn't going to lean one way or the other. That's fabulous. Well, for all of you who can, would you please stand? We're going to start off with There's Power in the Blood.
Power in the blood. There's power.
may be seated. This morning, all the kiddos that are here can head back for a Kids Own Worship this morning with Miss Jamie in the back there. So if you want to head back with her, she'll take you over to Kids Own Worship this morning, and you guys will have a good time learning and growing in your faith this morning. Well, good morning and welcome. We are glad you are with us this morning as we come and we worship our Lord and Savior. And for those that are joining online, we welcome you this morning also. Just a few reminders. Don't forget that right after the service today, for all individuals that are on the ad board and anybody that would like to stay, we'll have a special charge conference session, and that will be to approve the one church model, and that should not take very long after the service, so please make sure if you're a part of that, that you stay after the service. Our church picnic is coming up in a few weeks on August the 21st, so please take note of that. We will not be having worship that morning. We'll be going out at 11 o'clock to the Mountville Park, and at the pavilion we'll have a time together there of fellowshipping and having a time of a little bit of worship together outside in God's wonderful creation. Also, just a note that back at the credenza, that there's the new birthday list, the new anniversary list that's available, as well as the notes from the Ad Council regarding the new vision and mission of our church and the timeline of implementation as far as when we'll be going begin to do the new ministries. So that's available back there if you would like to take that and take a look at it at home with you. This morning, as we come together, we just want to be reminded of those that are not with us this morning, continuing to keep Magda Miltenberg in our prayers as she's still dealing with health issues. Carol Aston, Rich Gerfen is now back at St. Anne's. He's no longer at LGH, so continue to be praying for Rich. He was hoping to go home sometime this month, but with his gallbladder issue, they're not sure exactly when he'll be going home. So please lift him up in your prayers. So as we come together and we continue worshiping today, let us go before our Lord in prayer, and let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise for bringing us here today in your house of worship. We are so thankful for all you have done for us. We're so thankful how you provide for us. So thankful how you never leave us or forsake us. How your hand is always upon us. And so today we come to your house of worship to give you thanks. To say thank you for all you have done. Thank you for your forgiveness that you've offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for showing us grace and mercy even when we don't deserve it. And thank you for taking care of each and every one of our needs. We pray, God, that your Spirit would fall fresh upon us today as we come and we give you all honor and all glory. In your wonderful and your most holy name we pray. Amen. Let us continue to worship together.
Please stand as we continue to lift up our praises, lift up our voices, and to surrender our lives to the Lord this morning as we sing, "Awesome is the Lord Most High."
Great are you, Lord, mighty in strength. You are faithful, and you will ever be. We will praise you all of our days. It's for your glory we offer everything. Raise your hands, all you nations, shout to God, all creation. How long
step that we will follow you all of our days, that you will guide us, that you will direct us, and that you will make our path straight. And so, Lord, as we come before you now, step by step, Lord, one step at a time, we look for your guidance and direction. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you, praise team. Step by Step has kind of been our theme song for the past several weeks as we've been discussing the topic of answering the call, looking at how we can move the church forward out of the pandemic, and we thought that was a very appropriate song for the sermon series Step by Step. So thank you, Melody, for pulling that together and for finding that for us. Let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now and ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we might hear from you today. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. There was a young man who was learning how to be a paratrooper. And before his first jump, the instructor gave him four things to memorize. Jump when you are told, count to 10 and pull the ripcord. In an unlikely event your parachute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord. And then finally, when you get down, there'll be a truck there to take you back to the airport. Well, the young man memorized these instructions and he got on the plane, and the plane began to climb up to about some 10,000 feet, and the paratroopers began to jump. When the young man was told to jump, he jumped. And then he counted to 10 and pulled the ripcord. But nothing happened and the chute didn't open. So he pulled the emergency ripcord and still nothing happened. No parachute. The young man said, great, and I suppose the truck won't be down there to take me back to the airport either. Have you ever felt like that, young man? Have you ever felt that way just as a church in the last 2.5 years? That so many times we say, well, God, we're doing our best. We're giving our money. We're giving our time. We're giving our talent. We're giving our service over the last 2.5 years. And we become frustrated and we become disappointed because things just don't seem to be going the way we want them to go. Nothing seems to go right. We ask ourselves the questions, well, I've been faithful and I've done my part, God, so why aren't you doing your part? Why haven't you seemed to do anything over the past 2.5 years? Why haven't we seen any growth in the church? Why aren't we moving forward with things? After all, God, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Where are you and where have you been? Maybe we need to think about that for a second. Maybe it's not the fact that we're not doing things for God, but maybe we're not doing it the way that God has called us to do it over the last 2.5 years. That as a church and other churches, we've tried to think of outside the box ways of how we can do things on our own. And maybe as the time's gone on, that God has said, those are good things you've been doing, but it's not what I want you to do right here and right now. And as I reflect on the past 2.5 years of my own life, I feel sometimes like the guy in the story that I shared with you. I'm like, oh great, what's next? When I think about the last 2.5 years and all I've been through personally with COVID-19 and getting sick with COVID-19, as going through a change in life in my own life, as a church had gone through COVID-19 and the things we've been through, as we look at the church and where we've been the last 2.5 years and changes we've gone through, it can be discouraging and it can feel like that things will never get better. The past 2.5 years for us could have felt like a desert that we've been in, wondering, okay, God, when are you going to lead us to the promised land? Okay, God, we've been wandering for 2.5 years. When are you going to take us across the Jordan? When you think about it and we look back on those past 2.5 years, God has taken care of us the way he took care of the Israelites. That God has given us manna to survive on as a church each step of the way, one step at a time. That when we look back over those 2.5 years, that God has been working with us and preparing us through this journey as we come back together now, emerging from the pandemic as we refocus ourselves and we begin to reboot ourselves and restart ourselves as a church. That God has been leading us to the Jordan River the past 2.5 years, and now he's saying it is time. It is time to come out of the pandemic. It is time to cross over. It is time to get back to doing what I've called you to do. Remember the Jordan River, don't you? That's the river that separated the Israelites from the Promised Land. A very huge obstacle that they needed to cross if they wanted to inherit the promise that God gave to Abraham by saying that one day your future generations will enter into the land of milk and honey. Another obstacle they faced was once they got over through the Jordan, they had to face Jericho, a fortified city. So two huge obstacles faced the Israelites as they were coming out of the wilderness in the Promised Land. We know how the story goes as Joshua sends out the spies in Jericho in chapter 1 and begins to scout out the land. And then in chapter 2, we find how the spies are hidden by Rahab and how Rahab says, "Will you protect me and will you protect my family when you come in and you siege the city?" Then in chapter 3, we find that the Israelites begin to approach the Jordan River to cross it. And as they're crossing the Jordan River and they're in the middle of it, in chapter 4, we find that Joshua picks one individual from each of the 12 tribes and says, "Go and get a stone, carry it with you, and when we camp, we will set those stones up as a memorial." And the reason for this was because Joshua wanted a reminder of all the things that God had done for them in the wilderness, bringing them across the Jordan and setting them up to the Promised Land, fulfilling that promise he made to Abraham. Now this morning, as we go to Joshua chapter 5, we're going to pick up the story in verses 10 through 12. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. The words will be behind me as well this morning. Here are the words of Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. "And on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped that day, and they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan." When we're looking at this, we find that during the time of wandering for Israel in Egypt, as they came out of there into the desert, that they provided manna for them, and now they're in the Promised Land, and there's no more manna. The provision has changed. God is giving them the crops of the land, roasted grain, things they could never have imagined once they crossed into that Promised Land. God sustained them in the wilderness, and as they came to the Promised Land, it was beyond their highest expectations. You see, that's how it is with us as a church, that we've been walking, feels like, in the wilderness for the past 2.5 years, and God has given us that manna to sustain us, and now he wants to give us so much more, like he gave the Israelites when they got in the land of Canaan, that if we truly trust him and follow him and obey him, then God will provide for us and God will continue to do great and mighty things through us as we come out of the pandemic. But obedience is the key to doing that. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for my servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for this place where you're standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Joshua was obedient. Before Joshua gave any instructions about what to do of Jericho, he fell face down and he said, "What is it you want me to do?" that Joshua was obedient and he worshiped there. And when it comes to moving the church forward, we need to be obedient and we need to fall face down and we need to worship God and say, God, what is it you have for us? And being obedient. Joshua did what God told him to do. The ending of chapter 5 here sets up the Israelites' victory in Jericho when they capture the city and they move in the promised land. And over the past 2.5 years, God has been preparing us for this journey and saying, okay, now are you ready to cross over? Are you ready to trust me? Are you ready to be led out of the pandemic across the Jordan to better days? We find in chapter 6 that Joshua gives a very unusual strategy for conquering Jericho to defeat the city of it. He didn't say, well, I'm not too sure about that, God. You just think that's how it's going to happen, but what about their army? What about the walls? Joshua didn't question. He did what God told him to do. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites, and no one went out and nobody came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets or ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with a priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound of the long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city, with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the Lord, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear of the guard followed the ark, and all this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until I tell you to shout, then shout. So we had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned and spent the night there. And now picking it up in verse 15. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled it 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet, Joshua commanded, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all of it in it is devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away the devoted things, so you will not bring them to your own destruction by taking them. Otherwise, you'll make a camp of Israel liable to the destruction and trouble on it. And all the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. And when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted the sound of the trumpet. When the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed and everybody charged straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city of the Lord and destroyed it with the sword, every little thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. We see here that God made true on the promise that he gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verses 16 through 21, where now the Israelites have crossed into the promised land. It took a while for them to get there. It took 40 years exactly for them to get there, but they got there as God had promised. You know, as a church, we need to understand that God has called us to the promised land here of Columbia, Pennsylvania. That this is our promised land. This is where God has called us to do. A place for us to grow in our faith. A place to proclaim the good news. A place to go and reach out to our community. That in order to allow God to move us across the Jordan and come out of the pandemic, it means that we need to accept God's challenge that he's given to us, and it means that we have to realize that it's not just for today, but the future. It's not just enough to believe that we have to be obedient, but we have to be obedient. Meaning the fact that God says, I have your future in store and I know what's best for you if you will obey me. But so many times we'll say, yes, God, I'll be obedient, but yet we really don't follow through with that. So how do we move out from the desert, the pandemic, into the promised land that God has in store for us? Well, it starts with each one of us. It starts with us inviting others to church and sharing the good news with them. It starts with us inviting others to programs I'll be offering in the fall. It starts with a conversation and building relationships. It's time, folks, that we stop giving out fish and we begin to train people to become fishermen. More specifically, fishermen of God, so that others can go out and we can multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to give resources to our community. We need to teach them how to fish. That means that everything we do as a church has to have a spiritual backing behind what we do. That we don't just do it to do it. That we do it and we ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Does it align ourselves with the mission, the vision of our church? That it's not just about meeting their physical needs, but their spiritual needs as well. It's not just enough to offer programs. It means that we have to meet people where they're at, like Jesus did. And like Jesus, we need to address the physical and the spiritual aspect of their lives. It means we need to have a strategy. Just like Joshua was given a strategy in chapter 6 of Joshua, and God told him what he was going to do and how to do it to overtake the walls of Jericho, we as a church have that strategy as well. We call them our core values. The core values that was passed by Ad Council a few weeks ago is our roadmap as far as how we're going to move forward. And those core values are available out in the credenza area if you would like to take a look at them and take them home with you. But the core values is what's going to guide us and direct us and say, is this what we should be doing? Are we aligning ourselves with God and what God wants for us? It's by praying over these core values. It's by spending time in prayer each and every day of the week and trusting God that He will move us forward. That as a church, we cannot dwell on the past, but we need to focus on the future. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. For see, I'm doing a new thing. Now as it springs up, you do not perceive it. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You see, it's okay to look back at those standing stones, just like in Joshua 5 when they picked up those stones and they put them in. It's okay to look back on those standing stones. It's okay to look back on the memorial from the past and how God has provided for us. But we can't just keep staring at the memorials. We can't just keep staring at the standing stones. We can't just say, oh, remember those days and how they were. No, we need to move forward. It's okay to remember what God has done for us so we know what He'll continue to do for us. But we can't keep staring in the past and stay there. We have to move forward. And that's why we have been doing a complete restart as a church with a new vision, a new mission, core values, logo, because we are moving forward from the past into the future where God is calling us, joining where God is doing something new, allowing God to bring us forward. And how do we do this? Well, it comes down to being obedient. It comes down to stewardship. It comes down to, are we investing our time and our talent and our gifts and our service into the mission and the vision of the church? You see, I think so many times when we think about our church budget, we look at it in a way in which we need to raise money and we see it as a project instead of a ministry. Then we look at our church budget, we say, well, here's our goal that we have to have, that we need. And we look at it as a way to raise money for that goal instead of saying it's a way to give back to God and be obedient to God and say, God, I'm giving back to the church because I'm thankful for all you've done for me. But too many times we kind of take it for granted and we kind of see it as a way to raise money. Where are we at each month and how much do we need here and there? Instead of saying, God, it's about being obedient and allowing God to bless our giving to Him. And we need to stop looking at it as a project and we need to start looking at it as an act of worship. That when we tithe, that we do it with a cheerful heart and a right attitude and God will bless our giving. I'll be honest with you, this has been a struggle in my own life with tithing, especially over the last few months as I've been talking to a good mentor of mine, and he's been challenging me in the issue of tithing, because it's not that we haven't tithed, it's just a matter of, well, how much do we tithe? And because so many times we begin to look at our bottom line, the budget, and we say, well, if I give this amount back to God, then I'll have nothing left over for myself. And it's a struggle. And as Melanie and I ourselves have been looking at our own finances and how we can up our giving to the church to meet the budget and to meet the challenge, not because it's a project, but because it's being obedient. It's because what God's called us to do, that we look at that bottom line in our own lives and we say, not sure how we're going to make it if we give this batch back to God. And we struggle with that. And you know what? It's been amazing, because what we found is that God has provided for us. That when we look at our bottom line, that somehow God has stretched that bottom line to get us the next pay period so that we're able to meet our needs. But so many times we've been looking at the fact as individuals about, well, I need this much money to survive, or I can only do this. And when we really look at our giving and we really look at what we can give the church and where our money's going, are we able to really reassess, first of all, why we're giving to the church? Secondly, how much we're giving to the church versus how much we're spending on other things that don't matter in eternity? And that was a real eye-opener for Melly and I when we began to sit down and really look at our budget and go, oh, wow, we didn't realize how much money we actually spent going out to eat every month. Wow, that's money we can reallocate for God and God's purpose and God's ministry. You see, as a church, I know every individual in here is doing their best they can do, and some of you are giving as much as you can give, but I know there's individuals like myself and Melody that have the ability to give more because God has blessed them with more, and we're just giving a little pittance because we want more to ourselves and we want to hold on to it. We want to move the church forward. We can't hold on to anything. That means our money as well. It means that we have to fully trust God, that God will provide for us and our needs. We can't just say, well, God, yes, I trust that you'll provide, but I'm still going to hold on to things. It's been a stretch. It's been a challenge for Melanie and I as we've upped our giving. But you know what? God has been faithful, and God has provided for us. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. So I want to challenge each of us today that if you're able to think about your giving, think about where your money is going, and think about if you're able to give more, if you're able to do that or not. And give generously, give of a cheerful heart, and really trust God will provide. Now, I'm not saying, hey, you know what, you cannot look out for your basic needs, because you do need to look out for those things as well. But at the same time, look at where our money's going. Stop treating the budget like a program and start treating it like an act of worship. Being obedient, trusting in God, and reevaluating our priorities in our own life. Not just as a church. It's one thing to reevaluate our priorities as a church, but what about our individual selves? If we do not change who we are and what we're doing and our habits as individuals, then it's not going to matter what happens here as a church if we ourselves are not making the individual change. If we are not following God and being obedient to God, we're not praying, we're not seeking his face individually, then it doesn't matter what we do as a church, because God has to change us from the inside out. So I want to challenge you this week to be praying, to be seeking God and asking God, God, what is it you have for me? What is it that you want me to do? There was a group of students from the Midwest who took a trip to Mexico, and they saw several small boys that were living with their parents in cardboard boxes. And one of the boys walked up to the youth leader and began talking to him. And so the youth leader reached down his pocket and pulled out a stick of gum, and he gave it to the boy. And what he saw happen next brought tears to his eyes as the boy took that stick of gum and he broke it into two other pieces and gave it to the other boys that were there as well, that he didn't just use a stick of gum and keep it to himself. And the youth leader realized that, you know what, if he had been that boy, he would have put the entire stick of gum in his mouth himself and he wouldn't have shared it. But he said that God taught him a lesson about giving, that little boy who had very little already shared what he had to others. And that's how it is as a church. Do we keep things to ourselves, or are we sharing it with others? Are we going out and we're truly being an act of worship in all we say and we do, benefiting and giving to God, not because it's benefiting us, not because God says, well, I'll bless you if you give your time, your gifts, your service, and I'll put a lot of money in your bank account, or I'll give you this, or I'll give you that. No, doing it because that's what God has called us to do, because we're being obedient. We want to move out of the desert in the promised land. We need to be praying and seeking God's face, not our own desires. Relying and trusting on God. Relying on God's storehouses and not our own. That God's the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so many times we forget that. That God's storehouses are more bountiful than we can ever imagine. And we forget that. That's part of our act of worship. Being faithful like Joshua. And doing things differently. And blessing. God's saying, here, I'm going to give you more than you could ever imagine in ways you would ever know. Changing our perspective as a church. Many years ago, there was a weary travel that hiked for miles across the desert. And the hot sun was beating down his back. His water supply was gone and he was very thirsty. And he knew that if he didn't find any water, that he would probably die in the desert. In the distance, he spotted a deserted cabin, which brought hope to him. And he went into the cabin and he discovered there was an old well there, and he frantically began to pump and pump and pump, and nothing came out of the well. Then he noticed that there was a tin can that was tied to the pump with a note inside. And that note said, "Dear stranger, the pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer in it, and it should last for quite a few years. But the washer dries out, and the pump needs to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a jar of water out of the sun and corked it. There's enough water to prime the pump, but not enough if you drink some first. Pour about a quarter of the water in the pump and let her soak for a minute and let the leather washer get wet. Then pour the rest medium fast and pump hard and you'll get water. Have faith. The well has never run dry. When you get water up, fill the bottle up and put it back just as you found it from the next stranger who comes in this way. Signed, Pete." Folks, that's how it is with God. God's well never runs dry. God is faithful and his promises are true, and he has never failed us and he will not fail us. He will continue to move us forward. That with all things, God is possible. We just need to be obedient and follow his instructions. And God will move us forward from the pandemic, grow us as a church, and bring us to the promised land of his provision. But it all starts with you and me. It all starts with our heart attitude. Whether or not we're going to do things our way or God's way, and whether or not we're truly going to trust in God for his provision. That is what we are called this morning to do. To not just come and saying we're seeking God, but to actually seek him and his righteousness. And when we do that, then God will provide for our daily bread so that we can continue to do what God has called us to do.
God is doing a new thing in our lives and in our church, and he wants us to join him step by step as he leads us and we follow. So please stand. We're going to sing this song called God Will Make a Way. It's our declaration that we're putting our trust in him. And God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. Closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Come on, sing it with us this morning. God will make a way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
His words will still Come on, sing along with us. You are worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
God is worthy of our praise, and He alone is the one we need to worship. And so many times we get distracted. So many times we put other things before God. And God says, no, just me, me alone. Worship me in spirit and truth. And so today as we leave this place and we go about our lives, let each and every day of us worship God in spirit and truth. Let's not withhold from God anymore. Let us say, God, all we have is yours. My life, everything is yours, God. And may you, God, point us to where you want to lead us so that we can continue to be the church you've called us to be. That no matter what, each step of the day, we'll rely on God, His way and not our own. May the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.